or HBExtract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Boo! That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Well, bravo.
More.
You are listening to The Micro Effect. Microbroadcasters covering 194,000 square miles and bringing the people's voice to little towns all across America.
Welcome to another day of the story behind the story. You are with Clint Richardson, and again, your usual doctor host will be back tomorrow. As far as I know, anyway, actually I haven't heard from him. But True shall be back tomorrow, your listening pleasure. Today, however, you're stuck once again with me. And today I've got one of my my... You're in for a treat today. You know, one of the things I like about my guest today is that he has gotten to the point that I've been trying to attain, which is to actually explain things in their simplest point. Some of the most difficult concepts to grasp and be able to explain them in a very simplistic way so that all can understand. And that's what I've got to give credit to my friend Bert in Colorado. Bert, welcome
Hello
to the show.
Hello there. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. I'm very right. pleased that you're here. We always have a wonderful exchange of information. I guess today we're going to really start off this conversation with what I call volunteerism and the fact that we as people take on the artificial persona. Well, you call it anything. You call it a straw man. You can call it a fiction. You can call it your artificial corporate structure, your veil of corporate personhood, whatever you want to call it. We all put on that suit and we go out and we conduct business. We stand on the land. Thinking that we are free men, and yet we are standing on the jurisdiction, the grid system of America, of the United States, which again is this fictional thing that we call our government, but is really this corporate structure that has just spread out like a spider web all over the United States. So let's talk about this. What the heck's going on here? Now, why is it that when I, for instance, go to prison, because the court says I must, I'm doing that voluntarily? Why is it that when I go and register my car, my house, my children, for God's sake, with the state, I'm basically turning that property over to the state, and I'm doing it voluntarily as a free man? I'm turning that property over into a jurisdictive corporate structure. Let's talk about this, Bert.
Yeah, well, the very first mistake, I guess, that we make, and it's a justifiable mistake because most of us are completely ignorant about the reality of what's going on around us, but we need to learn somewhere along the way and at some point that we are, in reality, people like you mentioned. We're free people, but in this corporate world, be that legal or governmental, however way you want to describe it, you are never a real man or woman. You are, in fact, a person. And everything that is done through the corporate world or through the legal world is tagging you as a person, because that's the only way that they can have any kind of authority over you, because of the person. And people really need to become familiar with this one dictionary, Bouvier's Dictionary, Law Dictionary, 1856. It's a great free legal dictionary. And the definition of person there is a very good, actually, I'm trying to pull it up now myself. But as a person, you are in a class system. You know, people think back in history and talk about the medieval days or whatever, when people were all thrown into different classes. In fact, that's where we are today. We are in
a
medieval system.
When exactly did I become a person?
See, that's the part that that it's so difficult for people to comprehend, because none of us did this willingly. None of us did this with consent, and we didn't do it, but we're acting upon it through ignorance. Because under the legal system and under the law and the corporate structure, they always assume that you are a person, because by the very fact that you are dealing with them, you can only deal with them as a person. That's the way they see you. So they always assume that you are a person, because they cannot deal with you as a free people.
You say that I did not consent to being a person, and by this, we're simply talking about the acceptance of such things as social security numbers, all of these corporate inductions into this corporate system. Our name is one of those things. This is why they call the name the straw man. It's a sometimes that particular phrase turns people off, but we really are talking about a thing that we are conducting business, no different than if we named ourselves Kmart or Walmart. We are a corporation conducting business in the corporate structure. The question, as you say, I didn't consent. I could argue that and say I did consent because I signed all of these documents. The question is, did I acquiesce? Did I understand? Did I comprehend the values and what is written in the contractual obligations that I signed when I consented?
Yes, because the part that is really critical in consent is that, for example, a baby cannot consent to anything because obviously he doesn't comprehend anything that he's consenting to. When you are under the influence of a drug or alcohol or whatever, you cannot consent because you have no comprehension of what you're consenting to. The other side of that is ignorance. You cannot consent to something if you're ignorant to it. And the other party offering you the whatever the situation is, the contract or whatever, that requires your consent, if they withhold information from you, which would cause you to have complete comprehension of what it is you're consenting, then that is fraud. So the other side must give you all the information. Now, anyone that's familiar with real estate transactions know that if the realtor knows that there's a problem with the foundation of the house, that realtor must disclose that to you in order for you to make, you know, give proper consent to that contract that you're going to enter into, you know. And all of this, you know, be that the police, be that a judge, be that whoever involved in the legal system, they know a lot more than they are willing to share with you. And when you don't have that information, you cannot properly enter into any kind of a, you know, understandable, comprehensible consent.
And as far as a contract, these are the actual requirements for contract law. And all of this is based on contract law, meaning that you must understand what that contract is that you're signing. You must have full acquiescence, meaning you must accept everything that you understand. And then you finally, there's a few other rules, but you must then sign that contract and be bound by that contract only because you are a gentleman and because you have agreed to the rules and things that are set out in that contract, which you understand and acquiesce to.
Yes, and I mean, once people begin to have a grip on what we're talking about here, they will never sign a contract. Okay, you will never sign a legal or corporate contract once you understand all of this stuff, because every single one of those contracts, first of all, causes you to act as a person. And when you act as a person, you're taking a location in this rung, you know, one of the rungs on this ladder of society. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, why is it that the cops feel that they have the right to beat you and throw you on the ground and do all these things to you? It's because they don't understand that the cop is acting as a person. You are also acting as a person, maybe without your consent, maybe without your knowledge. But in this rung, on this ladder, you are at a lower level than the policeman. He is a higher person than you are. Now, anyone who has read the Declaration of Independence, they know that it says all men are created equal. Well, that's men, not persons. Persons are not all created equal. Persons are created legally. They're all fictional entities. And because they are fictional entities with no rights by God, only rights from a corporation, they can be thrown into different levels within this society. So that's why the average walking citizen out there that has no connections to the so-called government is at the lowest part of this totem pole, you know? So they can abuse you.
Right. It's actually written in the law. That's a very, I think, important thing to grasp, what you just said, which is that all men are created equal. There will never be a doubt about that. Some are smarter than others. It's certainly true. But we all have these inalienable rights, unalienable, I should say. and again, that is unalienable. In other words, no lien can be taken out of my right. Likewise, if I have a home or a automobile and I have that home on the land and I do not register that home with the corporation and instead place that on the land, I have an unalienable property. In other words, it is not able to be taxed. It is not able to be taken from me unless force is involved. And, you know, there's not a lot, of course, that we can do when it comes to that. If they kill us, we are dead. But the concept to understand is that by deeding a house, is the correct word to convey the house, to register it with the state, we then give that house to the state, which then allows us to be the tenant, and then, of course, taxes us and makes all these requirements of us. We've just given up our unalienable rights and turned them into lienable rights, because a lien is placed against your home.
Exactly. Exactly. So the thing to understand in a bigger picture is that as a citizen, as a person, you really don't own anything. You don't have the right to own anything. You only have a privilege to make use of something for a limited amount of time. I mean, even if you are in a house that you supposedly bought, it's basically yours, you know, until you die, unless the so-called government or municipality allows you to transfer the use of that home to someone else. And if you don't do that, they take it back.
Well, you just used a different word, and this needs to be discovered here. We need to open this up. You said citizen now instead of person. So what's the distinction between citizen and person?
The main difference between a citizen and a person is that they're both persons. They're both fictional entities, but the citizen can vote, where the person cannot vote. Like back in the you know, 1850s, in the mid 1800s, a slave was considered a person, okay? And he was considered a person who could also be considered a thing, a property. Okay? But that person did not have the right to be a citizen, therefore he could not vote. And so a person, citizen, has the right to vote.
So a slave was not we the people?
No.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? And when they suddenly became free men after they were released from their indentured servitude or their slavery, what did they become?
Well, they had the options to become freemen, but then the United States government, and I'm sure the smart people behind all that, said, hey, this is a great opportunity to create this entity of a person and get everyone, not just the freed slaves, to take on this personhood, and which will allow us to now basically force our rules and regulations upon them, which will then allow us to take over everything that they own today and will ever own, and we will reap all the benefits from everything they farm.
Well, it's kind of funny to think, actually, not funny at all, but when you actually really sit down and think about it, you think, okay, here's a bunch of former slaves walking around as free men, the only perhaps free men in the country at some point, and yet they really didn't understand what that meant because they were actually having trouble fitting into the society because they were not citizens. They were free, but they weren't citizens. And likewise, today, there's literally millions of people that most people don't even know about that are walking around who've either expatriated, which I don't recommend, or done what you've done, which we'll get into in a bit, and become, you know, there's several different layers of this, but, you know, there's the secure party creditor approach. There's the complete expatriation. There's just the relinquishing of your driver's license, your social security, and that kind of thing. Millions of people out there are doing this, and they are walking around, and they are not citizens, and therefore they are having some of them are actually having a tough time, very much like I had imagined these slaves might have been, walking around as free men, not being able to participate in the services at a barrel of a gun, basically, that are offered by the state.
Exactly. And that's the part that I think finally brings it home to people. You know, if I'm offering you a service, regardless of what that service is, and if I use a gun in order to get you to accept that service, I mean, what is that?
Well, it's not a legal contract, is it?
No, I mean, what can it possibly lawfully, legally, I mean, under what justification system can you justify something like that? I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. And when you really back people into a corner and you tell them, well, how can you and your friends point a gun at me and force me to do something that I know is against my principles to God and against my principles to myself? How can you do that without my consent, without my willingness to do that? Just because you decided to write some regulation on a book somewhere that says that I cannot wear pink pants or blue shirt or whatever? I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. But in fact, that is the system that we're living under right now. Someone writes a law, a regulation, a code, an ordinance, and then they say you have to abide by it because. They never give you a reason. They just say because it's written.
Well, it's the law of the land, and, you know, your indoctrinated church will tell you to follow the law of the land. And, of course, they'll say also, and this is a very important point I want to get across. Maybe this will help to really solidify the difference between what we're talking about, which is contractual consenting law, and this legal fiction, this code. Now, again, I don't mean to be a Constitution basher, but I'm a very much of the opposite opinion about the Constitution. You know, I've read Lysander Spooner, The Constitution of No Authority, and I've gone through these things, both state and federal, like a fine-tooth comb. And trust me when I say they are not the all knowing, all-seeing, holy documents that they've been portrayed, and yet we'll say that they were divinely inspired, and of course we can read by some of the founding fathers that they were not church men. They were not religious men in the least. And so there's a lot of distinction to be made here. Now, what I want to use as an example for people to really grasp this is the thing that we talked about yesterday, which is called the Declaration of the International Declaration of Human Rights. So understanding that the United Nations is coming in and severely, severely curtailing any type of Americanism that we have. In other words, it's coming in, it's claiming its own jurisdiction, it's doing so through treaties, through the people that you're electing. And we are under United Nations rule. Therefore, eventually, they're going to say, well, you know, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is your new constitution. It is very anti-constitution, this declaration. Like our Declaration of Independence, this is a declaration of rights. Like our Bill of Rights, this is a declaration of rights. Now, what you have to ask yourself, considering that this Declaration of Human Rights is completely both anti-individualism, meaning you are not a one of the people, an individual entity. You are part of the collective community. That is it. End of story. And likewise, you are not allowed to have private property. If that property is in the way of the collective community and the good of that, it can be taken, period, end of story. There is no private property in the Declaration of Human Rights because that individualism always takes sidetrack to the collective community. This is the Constitution that will have authority in the future. It already does to some extent in many, many countries, including this one. It is happening all around you through Agenda 21, as we've been trying to disclose. The thing that you have to now understand is that a constitution, a declaration by some men who get together in a hall and call themselves divinely inspired or founding fathers, does not constitute a contract. It is a voluntary thing that we call that thing the law of the land. It is a voluntary aspect of our life. It is what created the government, which then went completely bad, turned into the most rotten, stinking egg you'll ever come across. And trust me, I've been to a lot of countries and would much rather be in a different type of government than what we've got. And after all we've talked about, I would hope people understand where that's coming from and not call me anti-American, because our government is anti-American.
Yes, when it comes down to it. And let me add a little bit more to what you were saying there about this international contracts. Now, in all these international contracts that they're trying to offer you, they're offering you human rights. Well, you need to look up what human means in their legal language. A human is just an animal. Okay, no different than a cow in a pasture. Now, if you have a particular cow that likes to go through the fence now and then, you know, for its own pleasure, that is not good for the rest of the cows. It's not good for the rancher who manages the cows, because now all the cows are also going to want to go in and out of the fence, and who knows, some of them may disappear. So the collective of all the cows is more important than the pleasures of that one particular cow. You know, if that particular cow refuses to eat the feed that the rancher is giving them, well, that's going to cause problems for the rancher. So yeah, that's how they see you. They cannot give you a specific right that is not in the interest of the collective, because it makes it more difficult to manage the whole collective. So everything in this international approaches, anything in the approach from the federal government or the state government or the local government, it's all for the purpose of managing you as a group, as a unit. Because independently, you cannot be managed.
We call this human capital management. You'll see yes. That term quite often. Human resources. These types of terms are not as good as you think. You go to human resources to talk about your benefits, not your rights, but your benefits, you see. Mm-hmm. We're in a system of benefits and privileges, not of rights, because we are what we're talking about, which is this person. Now, this Declaration of Independence and this Human Rights Declaration by the United States, the Declaration of Human Rights, that international document, has the same authority as the Constitution. What is it? It's a bunch of guys who got together and created the document and then said, this is, I declare this to be for all human people. Only difference is that the Constitution of the United States was a declaration of American independence and the rights and privileges of the people. There's no difference. And so what you have to ask yourself is, well, is the Constitution the law of the land? Am I bound by that Constitution? Does it have authority over me so that people can, you know, they use the Fifth Amendment to take your land under eminent domain? It's called the Takings Clause. The 13th Amendment says you can be enslaved or come under indentured servitude if you're convicted of a crime. You become a ward of the state if you're convicted of a crime, and you literally become a slave according to the 13th Amendment. Likewise, boy, if you go read this international document, are you going to consent to that being your law of the land? Are you going to consent to that? Does it have any more authority than some other thing than a bunch of Masons who got together in the 1700s and created it? This is the kind of thing that people need to start waking up from, that these documents, these things that are created by men, do not have authority over them unless they volunteer that authority. That is the only way the entire legal system has any jurisdiction or control or authority over the people, only through volunteerism.
Yes, exactly. Now let's review this word person for a minute, because this is really the foundation of all the evil that we find.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're actually going to go to a short commercial break here, so why don't you hold your horses on getting into that, because it is extremely important, the distinction between person and people. Why don't you give out your any websites you want to give out for people and any contact information?
Well, one YouTube channel that I have a lot of this information on is Do Not Consent 83. Do Not Consent 83. And then people that have questions or whatever that I can help them with is Do Not Consent 83@yahoo.com.
Do Not Consent 83@yahoo.com. And keep in mind, Bert has taken this a step beyond and is actually helping people. Not offering legal advice per se, but actually helping people to, go through this system of denying the court its jurisdiction. And again, we're going to talk about that. Bert is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best assets that we, the people, actually have in the fight. And it's not about winning. It's about proving the court has no jurisdiction. And there's a big difference between those two concepts. We will be right back. The story behind the story in a moment.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for Life Change Tea. It starts. Cold and flu season is beginning. Sickness. Loss of work. Feeling lousy. Yuck. But what if it didn't have to be that way? Life Change Tea helps cleanse parasites, bacteria, viruses, mold, toxins, and chemicals from your body. True Life Change Tea drinkers are hardly ever sick. No loss of work, so there's money in your pocket. And here's another great piece of information. Life Change Tea tastes great. You just drink 8 ounces in the morning, 8 ounces at night, and you feel great. It's that simple. So get yours today. Order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Don't get sick and call us. Call us. Don't get sick. getthetea.com.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well. just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive-compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you are depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you are dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
Blood red moons, which are total lunar eclipses, are rare. And even more rare when they occur 4 times in a row on fall feast dates. Mark Biltz started a Hebrew Roots congregation and has become very popular. He discovered that 4 blood red moons in a row occurred during the 1967 Six-Day War and have not occurred since. They may signal war is coming. The next time they appear is April 15th and October 8th of 2014 and April 4th and September 28th of 2015. He says these blood red moon eclipses occurring 2 years in a row exactly on the feasts of Passover and Sukkot is extremely rare, and he explains that they could be signaling war for Israel, which may be World War III and possibly a sign that Jacob's trouble is near. Find out the whole story. Order the blood moon gift offer. Call 785-266-1112.
Serving the planet, The Micro Effect.
www.themicroeffect.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. Again, your own story behind the story. This is Clint Richardson. Joining me today is Bert from Colorado. Notice we don't use the last name for Bert. we'll explain. You know, it occurs to me that that I might sound like some crazy anarchist person here that's just going nuts with the Constitution. And I just want to explain, maybe so that people understand why I have the view I have and why so many others do as well that you may not know about. It really boils down to a simple concept here, and that is this one state that is very constitutional, by the way, and that is simply that government derives its power from the consent of the people. Okay, when government, by design, when the U.S. government gets out of hand, when the U.S. government becomes unconstitutional, when the U.S., there's so many words you can put in there, when the government becomes so tyrannical, and there ain't nobody out there that's going to say that this government is not tyrannical, and there's certainly not very many countries in the world that wouldn't agree, considering they've all been bombed, over 50 of us, 50 of them, excuse me. So when I say what I say about the Constitution, I'm simply trying to get people to understand that the Constitution has authority only when the government itself that the Constitution espouses, that creates, is acting within that document. And it has that power because the people consent to it and the people consent to government. So the question we have to ask is, what happens when the law becomes lawless? Do we sit back and trust that the Constitution is going to still save us, that everything's going to be fine, we have hope, we have faith, all of these things have been sold up to us to elect Obama president? Or do we have to start looking at what we're talking about today, which is what I call non-participation in the volunteer system? You may volunteer, or you may withhold your support for that system. That is what the place where I have now delved. And more importantly, this, you know, the reason that I give Bert street credit, I guess, if you will, a little street cred, is because he has literally done what most of us just think about doing, which is to basically get away from this, to cut some of those ties. The social security number and everything. Before we get into that, Bert, you were gonna explain the full definition of what a person is.
Yes. Now, according to Bouvier's dictionary, 1856 edition, and the reason that I really like this dictionary is because it's at a point, it was put together at a point in time of the history of this land that's very crucial. I mean, it was, you know, before the Civil War happened, before all this amendments, you know, 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, all this stuff was put together. So the language in this dictionary is not politically correct.
Well, before, more importantly, it's before the Bar Association came in and created all of the rules and regulations and legal code that take us completely away from the simplicity of law, of creating victimless crime as the mainstream, taking law away from God, meaning do no harm to others or their property.
Mm-hmm. But it's also important to remember that these attorneys were already functioning during this time, and they were already pushing some of this government regulations on the people, and they were doing their best. You know, like you talk about the Constitution, at the inception of the Constitution, they began the process of basically, actually it was before then, it was with the Articles of Confederation, but for sure with the Constitution, they began at a very fast pace to take away your right so that you would not stand as a free people. So anyway, getting back to this definition, person says this word is applied to men, women, and children who are called natural persons. Now, some people, for some reason, they think that, oh, yeah, well, but I'm not a person because I'm not a corporation. I'm a natural person because I'm a man or woman. You're still a person. Okay? In law, man and persons are not exactly synonymous terms. So they're telling you in the definition that man and person are not the same terms. Now, it says any human being is a man, whether he be a member of society or not, whatever may be the rank he holds. So see, here they're talking about that, you know, about ranks, or whatever may be his age and all this stuff. He says, a person is a man considered according to the rank he holds in society. So a person has a rank in society. So if there is a rank in society, that means that there are ranks that are below than others. And you, when you take on the role of a citizen, you're pretty much taking the lowest rank in that society. Okay, now some people ask me, well, why, if all these people in, you know, in charge of this system, why are they so comfortable being a citizen? Why are they so comfortable being a person? Well, if you're a person at the top controlling everybody else, you're going to be happy. Why should you care that you're a person? You only care if you're one of the persons that are at the bottom. And that's a really important thing for people to understand. Because, for example, Obama and some of these people that are in Washington, D.C., they're all acting as persons. But there are persons in a much higher rank than you are. So they can extort you. You cannot extort them legally.
Well, and also let's not forget that almost every law that's written puts an exemption on government, for instance. You know, I can't go and put a bomb in your house or irradiate you or give you an experimental vaccine or other biological weapon, and yet in the law, in the U.S. Code, the government exempts itself while telling me that I cannot do that to other people. The government can, in fact, at any time, test biological weapons on the people. It's right there in black and white.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these exemptions are incredible, and they're also riddled throughout the Constitution, which makes this due process thing happen. And due process is one of the big problems here, to be perfectly frank.
Yes, yes. Now, further in this definition, it says, but when the word persons is spoken of in legislative acts, natural persons will be intended. So you could see there that anything that comes out of any kind of an act is applying to persons. It's not applying to people. So it's not applying to you as a free man, as a real man or woman. It's only applying to you if you choose to take this position at the very bottom of their society. Now, it also says...
Could you read that again?
It says, but when the word persons is spoken of in legislative acts, natural persons will be intended. Because unless something appear in the context to show that it applies to artificial persons, meaning corporations. But in reality, a person is also an artificial person.
Lovely.
Kind of going back and forth. But okay, then further down in the definition, it says, they are also sometimes divided into free persons and slaves. Then within this definition of persons, they throw in the definition of freemen. It says, freemen are those who have preserved their natural liberty. Now, natural liberty is different from government liberty. That is to say, who have the right of doing what is not forbidden by law. A slave who is in the power of a master to whom he belongs. Slaves are sometimes ranked not with persons, but things. And when you really begin to analyze just who you are as a person, you are in fact a thing. Then further in the definition it says, persons are divided into citizens and aliens. So you can see that a citizen is in fact a person. And when you go through the U.S. code, like Plant and I and other folks have done, you will see that all this is actually backed by law.
Well, now that's an interesting thing. Maybe this will, you know, it sparks kind of a devil's advocate thing here for me, because let's say that I'm a Mexican citizen, and I decide that my country is way too corrupt to stay, and I want to leave. And so the natural, the natural reaction is to go north because, hey, that American dream that I've heard so much about. Yeah. Anyway, so I go and I come into America by illegal means. In other words, I haven't followed the legal system because, hey, I'm not really a citizen of the United States, so why would I follow the legal system? And so I'm here in America for what the government calls illegally. And this is a very important point, because if this gentleman that we're talking about was educated in what we're talking about, then what's the deal with that? He'd be a people, not a person. So if the legal system has no jurisdiction then over people, and he's declaring that he's not a person, in this case not a citizen or an alien, what is he then? We have the natural born thing, yes, but that still applies to borders and rules and regulations. So what is that? What is a foreigner who comes into this country illegally, quote unquote, but claims to be a people?
Yeah, he's actually free from all the regulations. And this is funny because I have friends, you know, that are in all kinds of different degrees of immigrational status. And I heard about this one guy that was called by immigration, and the immigration officer asked him, are you here illegally? And he says, of course not. Immigration officer said, okay, thank you. Have a good day. So they cannot do anything to you unless you admit that you're here illegally. And they can also not do... They can also not do anything to you unless you admit to them that you're a citizen of somewhere else. Because then you're admitting that you're a person.
Good point. Good point. Because a person is either a citizen or an alien, right? And an alien means you're a citizen of another country.
Exactly.
You're in the legal system. And the legal system, make no mistake, is very much a global system. See, this is the thing. You know, most people are like, well, we don't want those aliens in here. Well, guess what, man? The second that I become a people, in other words, I become a free man on the land, that makes me kind of an alien in these people's eyes. And this is the real sad thing about this, is that the free men that are out there, and again, we're talking about millions that keep on a low profile, are really considered to be intruders, people that aren't paying their fair share of taxes to the legal system, the people that aren't participating in all these services. They're bums. They're not contributing, even though they're working, you know, outside of the system and bartering. They're trying to live real free lives as set upon by what is supposedly this great country, and yet people literally throw rocks at them. And that's very sad to me, that basically people equate freedom to anarchy.
Yes, and you know, something really, really sad that kind of dawned on me a few days ago. I was speaking with my wife that, you know, people go to court, okay, to these commercial courts looking for some illusion of justice, and while they are there, they are convicted by a bunch of ignorant people who are impaneling these state juries, no different than the people who were convicted to burn at the stake alive for being accused of witchcraft.
And yet the attorneys themselves, acting as judges, are actually the ones that are sort of practicing the witchcraft of words. What was the, you had one of the words that you found actually meant basically the subversion of the English language. What was that?
Illicit. Illicit.
To elicit information or to tell me what that means again.
Yeah, that word is very a very interesting word, because when you look through all the forms, you know, that they try to get you to fill out in for so-called government benefits or whatever, they use in it that they're eliciting information from you. And if you look up the root meaning of illicit, means through trickery and magic.
That is so beautiful. And it's so, so important to understand that that is why literally there were standing orders and laws in place before this country was founded, and even after, but especially before, that attorneys, lawyers, were to be shot on sight. They were literally considered worse than witches. And I mean, look at the history. Listen to what's his name? The old radio show host that did such wonderful work. I mean, he exposed that in a big way. I mean, literally, if you're eliciting something, if you're eliciting information, you're using trickery and magic or witchcraft to elicit information. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And how many times do we see that word or hear that word when a collections agent calls, it's just, wow, what an amazing, when you break down these words, what an amazing realization.
Yeah, and that's the other part that people really need to get totally fixed between their eyebrows, is that legal language and everyday language is like Chinese and English, you know? I mean, when they're speaking something, it is a totally different language. For example, within the meaning of contracts, they have this part of the definition. It says, implied contracts are such as reasons and justice dictate, and which, therefore, the law presumes every man undertakes to perform. If a man employs another, blah, blah, blah. Now, there's two ways to understand this. You could speak about the law presumes, meaning the law of God, the law of people, or the law of the corporation. And, of course, they always try to put it to their advantage. So whenever you're dealing with these people, they take the presumption that you are bowing to their laws.
Well, it's also, I think it's important to understand that the presumption, the prima facie nature of the situation, prima facie being consent-based, doesn't exist without consent. It's always, the law is always presumed to be that you are acting in your corporate veil, your straw man, whatever you want to call it. That it's always presumed that you are doing whatever you're doing as the person and not the free man. And therefore, it is always going to be presumed that you, that the jurisdiction is there to treat you in any foul way that they want.
Yeah. Now, getting back to something that you were talking about earlier, because we were talking about the United States of America and the Constitution and all that stuff. One thing that people need to kind of understand is that the people were under the king, then they were set free, then the Articles of Confederation was put together, which created this corporation known as the United States of America, then this corporation known as the United States of America created this other corporation known as the United States. Now, if the United States was created after the United States of America, how can these United States then turn around and be the sovereign over everything that preceded it? You know, and that's how it's acting today. The United States is acting like the sovereign when in reality the sovereign is within the people. And then this United States is extending its sovereignty into the separate states, which are United States. And this is not how it's supposed to work.
Well, it's how it's supposed to work if you're the people setting it up and want to benefit from it. It certainly is how it's supposed to work. I mean, you know, again, one of the big issues here really boils down to the Constitution, because this thing that we give so much credit to, this, we call it the foundation of law. It's the foundation of our government, and yet this Constitution, and again, I don't know if your book says this or not, but a Constitution is a debt, basically a debt contract, a debt compact. In other words, if you're a constitutor, you are a debtor. You owe a debt to somebody, and you're basically putting out a compact that you'll pay those debts. And, of course, True has talked about this quite often, how many things are still paid to the Queen of England. We've also discussed the House of Commons actually owns, besides everything in London, owns a lot of the private associations that we call homeowners associations that we pay our little fees to. It's a way of taxing people of America and bringing it back to the House of Commons in England. It's a very incestuous thing that way. The problem with the foundation, what we call our foundation, is that it is interpretable. Do you understand that if you have a foundation for something, it must be solid, cannot be interpreted in a way to completely undermine that foundation? So if you have a constitution or a foundation that you can literally tear apart in the courts through this thing called due process, guess what? It is not a foundation. It is a completely moldable, waxable thing that can be changed for the benefit of those in control.
Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that, because people ask me, well, how does all this information, you know, all this stuff really helps you through everyday life? Well, one of the most important places that everybody needs to start learning to protect their everyday life is in the courts. And one mistake that people do whenever they go to these courts is that they're always trying to prove that they are not, or that they are, you know, whatever. when in fact it has to be the other way around. Everybody that brought you to that legal court, especially if it was a police officer or whatever government entity, they are the ones that have to prove, because all of their rules were written for that thing called the United States and their states. So their rules do not apply to people. They apply to persons. They apply to their employees, to their officers. So they have to prove that their rules and regulations apply to you. If they cannot do that, they cannot bring a case against you in any shape or form.
Well, it's kind of like, it's kind of like serving a warrant. The police have to prove that they are there, with some sort of jurisdiction. But if you take someone to court and you have no proof of claim, you have no proof of jurisdiction, you have no reason for your offense, then why should you have to be on defense? That's basically what it boils down to, right?
Yes, and in fact, when a policeman or whoever it is bringing you a warrant on your person, okay, on the person that they say that you are, it doesn't apply to you because they're bringing that warrant to you under the premise that it is applied to a person of the United States.
It applies to you,
not of the United States.
It applies to you when you acknowledge that you're that person.
Exactly.
When you attach your peoplehood, your natural person state, to the corporate person, you're attaching that, again, you're jumping into that fictional suit of corporate veil of artificial corporatism.
Exactly.
I don't know, there's so many ways of saying it. Anyway, we're going into another break here. We shall return, and we've got a lot of information. Bert's going to explain to you what he's been doing for people, helping people not even go to court in the first place. His fascinating approach. We'll be right back.
Rise and answer my question.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, it's a little dark in here, ain't it, Clink, now that you've busted the light?
Where are you?
Right in front of you.
Now, where have you hidden the wax figurine of the Kaiser?
I've got no bloody idea what you did with your wax figurine, and I don't care.
You are the prisoner.
That's right, and as such, I expect some answers out of you. Now, where did you put my stash of freeze-dried food?
We, ate it.
You ate it?
It was quite good.
I'm sure it was. I'll have you know that was freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. That food rehydrates faster, stores longer, is nutritionally superior to, and tastes better than any other long-term storage food available. Now, let me out of here.
If you could get us some more, perhaps we could negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps I'll just confiscate your keys, Klaus, and let myself out the front door.
But wait.
I'm busy. Get your own supply of delicious long-term storable food by dialing 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Like to have normal blood pressure.
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. HDL is 119L, my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Lindsay Williams has made a new triple DVD set available through the Prophecy Club, and it's called Lindsay on the Elite. The topics are, what in the world is going on? Division among the elite, the dollar, debt, fear, fuel in 2012, and why 2012 and not 2000, the devil's messiah according to the elite, you never heard this one before, and divine manifestations in 2012, and finally, 2012 predictions from the elite. Call 785-266-1112, not available on the internet. You must call 785-266-1112. 866-1112. It's called Lindsay on the Elite. 3 DVD set for a gift of $69 or more. Call 785-266-1112. Not available on the internet. Call 785-266-1112. Lindsay on the Elite.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Micro Effect.